Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and the Stoke It Up podcast is a part of the Calvary Global Network media podcast community. If you have not followed us on Instagram, it's CGN_media, and I'll put that in the show notes, but you want to go and check out all of that podcast community to better stoke up your life. Well, we're excited. It's Christmas. And as we think about Christmas, we think about the wonder of God. And we think about the message of God in the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And then our mission is to go out and be paper boys and paper girls of that very message. So we are to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, our guest today, Elijah Abraham, has recently been to Southeast Asia. I'm excited to have him on the program. You're going to love to take a peek this Christmas into another part of the world. And then what will this mean for you? What will it mean for me as we live out the gospel in our world? Well, let's take a listen. I introduce you now to Elijah Abraham. How many mission trips do you take a year?
Before COVID, about six. After COVID, right now, average about two or three. Looks like next year might be back to four. Sometimes one of the trips, like last March, I went to five countries in 25 days. Next March, I'll be going to six countries in 6 weeks.
Where did you go? What were the five countries in March?
I went to Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, Switzerland, and Ukraine.
What did you see in Ukraine?
Well, our ministry really, the reason how it's interesting how the Lord opened the door for us in that ministry. Before COVID, I've been involved in Moldova and training pastors, and we had partners there. When COVID happened, I was teaching through Zoom. I had about 50, 60 pastors. And when the war started in Ukraine, the pastor says, look, we cannot even do Zoom. We are overwhelmed with all the refugees. They're sleeping in our homes, in the church. We don't even have enough food to feed them and clothe them, but we're doing our best. And I know how Moldova is part of Europe, but it's the poorest country in Europe. So I know that they cannot afford it, and they're doing the best they can. So the Lord really spoke to me and my wife that we need to help. So I sent out a newsletter to our supporters and the people in our newsletter, appealing to them. So look, let's. Of course, I've never done this like before. I said, let's raise $10,000, $2,000 from our ministry. I'm praying for the aid. Well, within 48 hours after the newsletter went out, the Lord blessed with $15,000. A couple of weeks later, we are up to 20. So overall, since March of last year until now, we are about $36,000 we raised. In that kind of money, we help sustain 3,000 refugees, and that's women and children, and a few men, because Ukraine will not allow men of fighting age to leave. So, and when we say sustain, then we're talking about food, shelter, fuel for the electricity, especially for heat in the winter, mattresses, blankets, clothing, and Bibles and tracts. We also, summer of last year, we sent two groups of children to Bible camps, you know, summer camps. That resulted in many young kids get saved. So we experienced many adults get saved, accepted the Lord. This year, so far, we're trying to raise about 15,000. So far, the Lord provided 6,000. And just out of this 6,000, actually not even all of it, we only sent about four. Our ministry partners in Moldova already, the last 2 months, they sent about 3 tons of flour for bread and 6 tons of food to them. And of course, with every sack they give, there's a Bible, there's a track, and they have people on the ground praying with people. And so just doing our part, and I think that's a small part because my partners are in the front line and they're in the war zone, but they're gone. So last March was my first time crossing into Ukraine, meeting some of these refugees that we've been helping and supporting in Ukraine. I would rather for them to stay in Ukraine than go to another country, than they are displaced out of their own culture, their own country. But next March, I will be going to Romania. Well, start with Poland. I've never been to Poland. I've been in 47 countries, so Poland will be 48. So I'll be Poland, then Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, and Ukraine. And in Ukraine, this time they want me to go a little bit deeper, where there is, the bombing and so forth. There is
What would you
a
say the
couple of
state of
churches.
The church is in
They want me to
Ukraine
preach
these
and
days?
teach there. Say that again.
What would you say the state of the church is in Ukraine right now?
Well, because of the war, half of the pastors left. A lot of the churches being demolished. They got the Orthodox start persecuting the evangelicals. So there's a huge gap in leadership. But those who stayed, God is using them in an incredible and mighty way. So what we are seeing, just like what we saw with ISIS in the Middle East, when people see this intense heat, if you want to call that, they start looking up to God. They start looking inward about it, mortality and life after death. What do I believe? Where am I going after I die? So they're now genuinely seeking. So what we are seeing in Ukraine, we start seeing hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of Ukrainians come to know Christ. But the problem is we don't have enough leadership to disciple them. So those who are staying behind, they're just overwhelmed of helping young babes to grow in the faith. So my role is going to be also to identify some of those who have some heart for ministry. Might not be full time, but at least they could help to kind of equip them theologically and help them to disciple others. So I see our ministry in Ukraine for the years to come because, yeah, the war might be over, but the devastation and rebuilding, whether it be physical or the spiritual, is going to be for years to come.
I think the feel within my Calvary brothers, Calvary Chapel brothers and the Calvary Global Network, I think the feel among us and just from what I hear in podcasts and testimonies and experiences is that the Ukraine is going to be a great opportunity for church planting as this war begins to subside there.
Yeah, I agree. And my partners in Romania as well as in Moldova, they're already ahead of the game. They're already doing that, planting churches. They are working on rebuilding the leadership, and they get an extended invitation to me to join them in teaching. So I'm pleased with that.
Elijah, say again the countries you went to recently in Southeast Asia.
Actually, I went to only one country. It's Indonesia.
Ah, okay.
And this is my ninth time, nine, not 10, nine times since 2012. And this 9 year, 9 times, we conducted about 36 conferences in 31 cities in Indonesia with over 10,000, maybe 11,000 pastors and 70 students and leaders trained. So, and this is cross denomination lines. You think we have a problem with denominations? They have over 360 denominations in Indonesia. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
So it's,
I did
it's a
not
challenge.
Know that.
Yeah, I was stunned, surprised.
What would you say your average Western Christian should learn from the church in Indonesia, from your experience of being there?
Very weak, theologically weak. They latch on anybody who might be famous or have a podcast or have a YouTube channel or have a famous name, and whatever he says goes. There is no discernment. They are biblically illiterate. And I'm talking about even pastors. I focus on leadership. I'm trying to train the trainers. Pastors, majority of them don't even have the basic fundamentals of the faith, Christianity 101. They're so messed up with that. I go to seminaries. The seminaries, even second and third year students, basic Christianity, they get it wrong. It's like, what are you teaching here? So some of the professors who join in the conference, they ask questions. I can't believe they ask these questions. So the church, unfortunately, look, there are many, many churches, some of them even mega churches. I never thought there are mega churches with 10, 15, 20,000 members in Indonesia. But most of it is prosperity gospel, health and wealth gospel. Some kind of really weird theology. There are a lot of I preached in churches They are literally heretical churches, but they invited me. And I said, okay, I don't care who invites me. I'm going to go. And when I stand, I said, thank you for inviting me. Let's open our Bible. And I go through scripture. And when I do, I give an invitation, we'll get saved. And the pastor, to keep doing this, he's all excited. He said, well, praise the Lord. I said, yeah, preach the word. You'll see the same results.
Did you see?
It's like,
that's funny. Yeah, share the gospel, teach the word. It actually works.
Exactly.
I have a friend who says, you don't catch fish if you don't go fishing. You met him. His name's Tim. anyway.
Yes.
Did people come to know the Lord on your last trip?
Actually, yes. It takes 2 days to get there, 2 days to get back. So I left September 13th. I arrived there the 15th. We have a day of travel to go to Bali, and I preached at a mega church, Prosperity Gospel Church, three services. The first service is 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they had close to 2,000 people attend
at 7 a.m.
Full blast service. Oh yeah, oh yeah. The second
Forgive
one
us,
was
Lord.
Like 10 o'clock. Yes. And the third one is like around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. In that church alone, in three services, we had 40 people got saved.
Praise
and
the
then
Lord.
later on in Jakarta, I preached at a church and we had five more people. So on this trip, we had about 45 people got saved, one of which is a Hindu. The Hindu came after the service in that first church. And after the third service, his wife is from Muslim background, so she's a believer, and he is a Hindu, but he was close. The Lord really spoke to him from scripture, was convicted, and he was crying, and just held his hand and started talking to him about the scripture and the Lord, and he understood what Jesus did in his life, and he said, I need Jesus. It's okay. He prayed, got saved. So it was amazing. The trip, I taught in three seminaries, and I conducted four conferences, pastors' conferences, and did three one-day seminars to church leadership for future ministry. And as a result, the Lord opened opportunity for actually, I got so many invitations. I usually go there once a year, but I got so many invitations. Now I'm considering for next year to go twice a year. And I'm waiting right now. Also, while I was there, I got invited to go to the Philippines. I've never been to the Philippines. So if that happened, I'll combine one of the trips to Indonesia with the Philippines. So praise the Lord for these opportunities. And I'm telling you, people are hungry for sound biblical preaching, teaching the word of God. That's it. When I go there, of course, I know there are multiple denominations I'm teaching and so on. And I tell them, I said, I thank you for coming. I appreciate that. But you need to understand that I'm not here to teach denominational doctrine. I'm here to teach biblical doctrine. So I could care less about denominations. What you guys do teach, that's between you and God. Let's stick to the Bible. And I'm telling you, I taught eschatology that is not taught in Indonesia. I had three series that I taught. I taught on biblical foundations in certain conferences. I taught on apologetics and Muslim evangelism. And I taught eschatology and end times. And that topic, eschatology and end time, it was a hit because they never heard of it. They've never been taught. And I'm talking about these are pastors and seminary students. And it was fantastic. The questions they ask, and of course, their idea of how things are so off base. So we're always trying to go back to the scripture. And one other thing I learned, whatever I'm going to say, I better back it up with scripture. So we went through a lot of scripture. And of course, they read it in their language and so forth. And I let the word of God do all the teaching and convicting. And it was amazing. People really hungry. And one the reason that I'm seeing so many people getting saved because my message, what I did, that I titled it "Looking Up for the Blessed Hope," and I went through from Genesis to Revelation, just scripture. Let the word of God speak to them. I talked about sin and the fall, what happened there, and our condition, where we are, what is the solution, what Jesus did, and what He promised, and what is our hope, and what is heaven going to be like. You know, the whole Bible, but in 40 minutes, that's with translation. So basically 20 minute sermon. Towards the end, I said, this promise is only for the believers, because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning, if you're not a believer, let me show you the consequences. And I show them the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And that kind of hits them, because they're going to they realize, I'm not born again, and I'm going to face that. I need Jesus. So praise God for his salvation. God was good. He's always good. He blessed our time and gave me the stamina and the strength, because basically I taught over 300 people in this trip, and probably taught over 200 teaching hours.
Wow.
In 3.5 weeks. Yeah, in 3.5 weeks, I only had probably 3 days of rest. Yeah.
Man.
Nonstop.
You're one of the niches that you have is that you use mission trips extensively for equipping pastors and leaders and others in the church, but mainly targeting pastors and leaders. What would you say that, what sticks out to you that you would say to a Western Christian that you would say, okay, I go across seas, I get into other nations where most of you can't go and or don't go, especially at the pace that you go. What encouragement would you give us to say, okay, this is what you need to be thinking about globally?
Well, try to think outside the American experiment bubble. Okay. Look at, as a believer in Christ Jesus, look at it from Jesus' eyes. And Jesus looking at the whole planet as a whole world. That's why he said, for God so loved the world, he looking at everybody. And so we need to look at it from that point of view. And also you need to look at one point, remind yourself, at one point before you got saved, you were lost and you were destined to go to hell. And people need Jesus. So remind yourself of that, not to torment you, but to give you compassion to those who don't know Christ. So keep that in mind always. Second, go on a mission trip. Get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, you can start to go to Europe or Eastern Europe or South America, or maybe the Lord will take you to Africa or Asia, wherever the Lord leads you. Go short term. I don't like this idea of 10 days. 10 days, because your body's so messed up, especially if you're not used to international travel. You know, it'll take you 2 days to get, when you get there, it takes you at least 2 days for your body to get adjusted. And then, of course, when you come back, you messed up and then you have to go to work. So if you can go for 2 weeks, because you need to give yourself time either way for jet lag and your body rest, so you could do ministry and experience fellow believers in those countries. And I'm telling you, you'll be humbled. There are a lot of Christians in the world, a lot of churches don't have the blessing that the church has here in America. And every time I come back, when I go to church, I feel guilty. Every time I come back to America and I go to my home, the beautiful home that God blessed me with, I feel guilty. They are content to what they have, and they have literally, some of them, nothing. Some Christians are persecuted, and I've been there. I trained these persecuted pastors in northern India and other places. But yeah, the theology is a little bit off because nobody goes there to teach them, but they're faithful. They love the Lord. Man, Alan, you should see them when they pray. It's first heart-wrenching, but then that turns into praise and turns to thanksgiving and turns for God to please give us more boldness to be your representative in the midst of heavy persecution. So, and also they're content to what they have materialistically. So it's an eye opener, and I think it'll humble us. So for the Christian, when they come back from a mission trip like this one, they're going to appreciate they live in the United States. Two, they're going to appreciate that they have the freedom to go to a church without somebody with a gun over their head saying, don't you go to church. Three, they could still say, I'm a Christian publicly without being persecuted or being spit at or a rock being thrown at them. And four, you could still share the gospel with people here in America without somebody telling you, you're going to jail because you shared the gospel. And number five, you're going to be on fire for the Lord, because you're not the same person what before you went. Now you're a different person. God spoke to you during the mission trip. So I encourage everybody to go on a mission trip. Start locally, man. I mean, you got the mission trip. God's bringing the whole world into your neighborhood. Start locally. Get adjusted into speaking to strangers. In America, unfortunately, we have conditioned our people, stick to your comfort zone. Don't cross into somebody's comfort zone or space. I'm always in somebody's space with a smile on my face. And I'm always putting my hand on somebody's shoulder. Strangers, it's like they look at me and with a smile on my face, talking to them, and they loosen up. So by you doing that in your own comfort, in your own country, in your own town, that will help you get out of your fear of talking to strangers. Slowly but surely, you go to another state. You know, we got disasters, hurricanes, a flood, or whatever. Volunteer with some of these ministries to build a house for somebody, or all of these things, feed the hungry or the homeless. And then you could go and step out in faith and go across the border somewhere. But again, you need to go with a ministry that they've done it before, that can secure your safety. Also, they have connections that there are ministries that you can participate. And always remind yourself, you are not there a tourist, and the missionary are not your tour guide. So humble yourself. Don't demand anything. You just say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me, Lord. What am I supposed to do? Yes, you're going to be out of your comfort zone. It's got a lot of things going to step on your toes and your feelings. Suck it up. This is not about you. You know, go out there, be a servant. It'll teach you how to be a servant. It'll be a humble servant. And you got to do that. And you're going to be a different person, going to be a better person. And that's what I advise people who are listening to the podcast.
Well, amen. That's a good word. Well, that's a fresh missions update and encouragement and challenge to us. The Stoke It Up podcast exists to encourage you in your journey with God. Definitely want to encourage you to be a great commission Christian. I think that phrase can get wore out a little bit, but here's the deal. We are on mission with God every single day of our lives. I think the Christian life is boring without the Great Commission. Not that Jesus isn't enough. My relationship with him is definitely enough, but he didn't just save me to have me sit. He saved me to send me. And he does all Christians like that. So our mission is fueled by the gospel. The gospel fuels the Great Commission of Christ. It's our message. It's the only message we really have. It's the good news. I hear so many churches and preachers who are not sharing the gospel, and they're not giving any invitations anymore here in the West. And I'm like, what's going on around here? I thought we were still sharing good news. We're paper boys and paper girls for Jesus. So here's what you do. Think about, pray about where you could go in the world. And start saving money, set it aside, and let's get busy doing all that Elijah just encouraged us to do. Share this content where you can. Leave us a review if you can in Apple Podcasts that helps circulate this and promote this content around the world. We love you guys, and we will see you on the next Stoke It Up podcast. God bless everybody. See you next time.